What's up, my people? It's Full Court Press, your one-stop shop for all your hoops talk. And yeah, we had a big week. Jorge Arbejosa retired today.
Oh, no.
Tragic. Wait, didn't he retire years ago?
From the NBA, but not from basketball as a whole.
There's basketball outside of the NBA.
So we've been told.
If it wasn't radio, I'd ask for a moment of silence. I'm not sleeping today.
The great Garbo.
Jorge Arbejosa, if you can't remember, had his career ended in Toronto by a horrible leg injury.
That was disgusting.
That really was gross.
That and Sean Livingston.
Yeah, I was going to say that or
stand
Livingston.
Stand out in my mind as like the two most
horrific lower body basketball injuries
ever. They're basketball's
ever.
Answer to the Joe Theismann and Leon Washington injuries.
Yep.
Yeah, that's
that and the Rondo elbow this year.
The Rondo elbow is definitely a good one too. But let's move over to some serious business. We have a new NBA champion. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah, I'm actually very tired today. I've been up the last couple days just doing nonstop press conferences. Oh, wait, no, I'm not LeBron James. I've just been busy, you know, being awake with all my personal problems.
Oh, all your personal
that all
problems,
the ordinary
yeah.
folk
yes,
have
us
on
ordinary
a daily
folk
basis.
Can't understand what he's gone through at this point.
No, I wake up today and I just have the same problems that I had yesterday.
For those of you that don't know what Josh Lewinberg is talking about,
which is normally the case,
which, yeah, a lot of people can sympathize
not
with.
Not uncommon.
The Miami Heat lost in Game 6 of the NBA Finals two nights ago now. We're doing the show on a Tuesday today. And let's just say LeBron James didn't quite handle it with what you would say,
grace?
No, he handled it with LeBron grace.
Yeah, he did handle it.
I've come
LeBron
to expect
grace.
That from him.
Le grace. Foot in mouth.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Play that for everybody.
Oh yeah. Let the listeners hear it.
So after LeBron James lost his second NBA championship, he had this to say, and this is for all you regular folks out there with regular problems.
Does it bother you that so many people are happy to see you fail?
Absolutely not. Because at the end of the day, all the people that was rooting on me to fail, at the end of the day, they got to wake up tomorrow and have the same life that they had before they woke up today. You know, they got the same personal problems that they had today. You know, and I'm going to continue to live the way I want to live and continue to do the things that I want to do with me and my family and be happy with that. So, you know, they can get a few days or a few months or whatever the case may be on being happy about not only myself, but the Miami Heat not accomplishing their goal. But, you know, they got to get back to the real world at some point.
Stanley.
Wow.
When I first heard that, I almost wanted to give him the benefit of the doubt and say maybe it was a miscommunication. Maybe he meant to say something along the lines of those who doubted me still have their own things to deal with. They have bigger problems than whether or not I succeed or not. I was thinking maybe that was the route he was going on.
And then he
on.
Said they're going to wake up tomorrow with their same personal problems?
It's hard to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I don't understand this man at all. He was asked a simple question. He could have given a simple answer. I was told at a very young age, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. But if you don't have anything intelligent to say, don't say anything at all again. LeBron, what?
Here's the thing I don't understand is, think of one other pro athlete that's at the pinnacle of his game and the pinnacle of his sport who people would really consider to be the best right now. And I don't think, even though they aren't champions right now and Dirk Nowitzki was the finals MVP, I think it goes without saying that LeBron James is universally accepted as the greatest basketball player on the planet right now.
Probably.
So for him to just not be able to accept this criticism and ball up like a child, I can't see.
Giannis,
we
talked about this last night.
Like this.
Tiger Woods dealt with way more adversity than LeBron James did, but he handled it in way
You think you're
way
the first
better.
Pro athlete to get hated on LeBron James?
Hey, remember what happened to Kobe in Denver?
Yeah, no kidding. Kobe Bryant took just as much flack when he was
and
coming
And how
up,
did he do it?
More.
He shut his damn mouth and didn't dig himself into a deeper hole. Dig up, LeBron. Dig up.
The problem is not necessarily that he won't shut up, which is, yes,
it's one
an
of the
obvious
big problems.
Problem. But it's almost like he's having an identity crisis that's been extended throughout this whole entire year since
you're absolutely
the decision
right.
incident. Because, believe me, LeBron James is not the only professional athlete to say the wrong thing at the wrong time, but the difference between him and somebody like Ron Artest or Terrell Owens, these guys embrace the role that they have as a villain of sorts. LeBron is jumping back and forth.
He's torn.
Do you want to be a villain? Do you not want to be a villain? When you say something like this, are you doing it because you want to be throwing yourself out there like that, or is it merely just a mistake? Are you putting your foot in your mouth? And that's what it seems like, and that's why people are taking issue to it, as they should be.
Though the real issue I had with it is that he's disparaging the very people that make him who he is. To quite put it frankly, I know we're a basketball show, but this guy dribbles an inflatable rubber ball for a living, and he's calling out everybody that watches the game. I just, to come after the fans is a no-no.
What I don't get is when he says stuff like that, it sounds to me that he's surprised that people are criticizing him so harshly. Hey, the three of you, what did you think was going to happen when you made this plan to meet up in Miami?
When you celebrated the NBA championship the season started.
Yeah, what did you think was going to happen, LeBron? Did you think people were going to warm up to you by the end of the season? No.
Honestly, they didn't lay it out. They didn't lay it out. They didn't expect...
No.
I don't know if they expected this, but they didn't expect anything. I think, honestly, they believed that they would go there. They would be so good that people would just embrace the fact that they're so good. They didn't think about the repercussions that they would face in the media. And there are plenty of threesomes that you can put together in the NBA. You can point out people from various teams that could join forces and not care about the scrutiny.
Yeah.
But these three individuals, or at least probably two of them, just don't have... That mindset, that DNA to just shrug this off. I honestly believe that they just can't handle being villains.
I'll give him the slight benefit of the doubt because it was very, very early after losing. And I'm assuming what the three of them...
No,
let me finish.
More composed.
Well, of course you do. I've already voiced my opinion on that. What I'm assuming the three of them thought was that winning would just send away all their problems. They would win and their problems would go away. And I don't think any of the three of them ever really thought anywhere during the season that they were going to lose. So when they did lose, he didn't have anything prepared for a losing speech. He had winning speeches. He had drawers and drawers of winning speeches. He didn't have a losing one ready. So of course, whatever he said was going to sound stupid, unrehearsed, and well, look what he did.
Some have suggested recently that LeBron James would benefit from a sports psychologist. What do you think about that?
I absolutely agree. We talked about it already. He's torn.
He seems weak of the mind.
He seemed like he wanted to be a villain, and then he got all hurt by the fans, and now he's back to being a villain. And then come next season, he's going to try and get his fan base back. But then
let's get this straight. We know that you're talented, LeBron James. We know that you're the greatest thing going in the game right now. Being said, I think, well,
he's the greatest
talent-wise.
Well, talent. But let's be clear, because you hear this argument all the time. We discussed it at length with the Scottie Pippen issue. But the best basketball player in the world is different than the most talented basketball player in the world, because sports is not about what you're capable of doing. If it was, then Darius Miles would be a surefire all-star, but he wasn't. It's about what you go on the court and do. And LeBron...
It's about more than that, though, too. It's about how much money he draws. And LeBron, regardless of villain or good guy, is going to sell jerseys globally like no other athlete, and people will pay the most money. Giannis, you're a LeBron hater yourself, but you said out of the people in the NBA, who do you want to see play live? And it's LeBron James.
He's the guy I want to see. He's the guy that
sells
tickets.
He brings in money, big time.
Part of being the best player in the game, and a big part of it as well, is going out winning time. The last 10 minutes of games, the playoffs, the freaking finals of all times to step up and show that you are the best player in the game. Kobe Bryant has that killer instinct. Michael Jordan had that killer instinct. LeBron James averaged 17 points in the NBA finals. That is unacceptable. Talk about
really
the fourth quarter all you want, and we will.
We will.
But to average 17 points, if you are the so-called best player in the game, you know how many times Michael Jordan scored 17 points in a single game in the NBA finals?
Yeah.
Zero. Never.
I've scored more than 17 points in a game.
You saw what Dirk did in the final in the final 5 minutes. He had 26 points.
Dirk averaged over 10 points a game in the fourth quarter in the NBA finals. He is in the top five in the last 20 years to do that. The other two names that are in that top five, Shaquille O'Neal and Michael Jordan. Those
terrific
are killers.
List.
Those are players that have that element in their game that you need to be the best player in the game. I'm not saying Dirk is better than LeBron. I'm certainly not saying Dirk is more talented than
LeBron. You see
LeBron
crucify the reporter, too, who asked him, he's asking about his fourth quarter struggles, and he goes, "You're not watching the game?
you go back and watch the film and then come back and ask not a, such a stupid question.
Well, that's the thing.
It's like, this guy is a baby.
Take Exhibit A.
He can't take criticism.
He can't. I think he's reached his breaking point. He's taken criticism all season. I don't think he can take it anymore, and he's just looking for the offseason at
this
point. Really?
Because I thought he was taking notes on everybody that was giving him some criticism. And
LeBron hasn't taken notes in his entire life. The guy never went to college, and he barely went to high school. He doesn't know how to take a note.
It's tough to condemn somebody that's still only 26, because we talked about this last week, and I mentioned this.
Of course.
At this age, Michael Jordan wasn't so much – his resume wasn't so much beefier than LeBron's is. He hadn't won a title. He had only won – or only. He had won two MVPs, which is the same as LeBron. But there's a difference in attitude. There's a difference in killer instinct. There's a difference in their overall demeanor. When they lose, how are they reacting to that loss? And we saw that from LeBron. We saw that attitude that he has where he just doesn't care. Him and Wade were – he's dragging Wade down with him, which I hate.
He really
him
is.
Him and Wade were sitting there and not taking the press conference seriously. They didn't. It didn't look like they had just lost an NBA Finals.
The only guy that looked like he lost a Finals was Bosch.
Yeah, although that's an understatement. It looked like he lost a kidney or two.
But shout out to Bruce Arthur, who tweeted me back after we both watched Chris Bosch collapse to the ground, heaping full of tears. Guy couldn't stand up. He had to be helped to the locker room eventually by teammates.
Dampier. Yeah, Dampier had to hold his head and
that's
hug him.
That's what Damp and Juwan Howard get paid for, dragging Chris Bosh to the locker room.
Drag
Let's talk
Chris
about
Bosch
this.
To the locker room after he cries.
Is that legit or not legit?
That crying?
Yeah.
Nah.
Are you okay with it?
Legit. No, I'm not okay with it.
I think it's legit.
He's showing emotion. Yeah.
I'm okay with some tears in your eyes. I'm okay with that, but to physically collapse to the to the ground when
but he did it. He did it in the tunnel. He didn't do it out. He did it
he
when
did
he was
it,
supposed to.
No.
He knew cameras were on.
Yeah,
are you joking me? Like he knows.
I don't think
he's
he cared.
In the privacy.
I don't
of the
think
tunnel.
He cared.
No, that's exactly it. He's
well. He should. You should pandering. Have a better idea of how you're being perceived because he doesn't like that's the so-called reputation of being soft. And then here's a guy that's collapsing to the floor.
Exactly.
Have tears in your eyes. That's
I don't
fine.
Think
Look
you,
emotional.
I don't think he had control of it at that point.
Collapse. He did. The collapse.
Everyone has a certain element of self-control, and I'll bring Dirk into this because I know you have a strong opinion on this, JB. But here's two guys who knew very well that they were going to have a strong emotional reaction to the end of the game for two opposite reasons. Dirk knew well enough, and I will give him credit to this. I know
I will
you
too.
Don't. For composing himself long enough to do what he needed to do to get to the locker room where the cameras are off of him and deal with the emotion the way that he needed to without the world watching. And the media is a critical...
More so than ever.
It's a critical beast, more so than ever, and you're going to have people who say...
That being said, no one cries if you win.
What?
If you win and you cry, no one's going to care.
People do.
No.
Absolutely.
What?
No, you'll have 50% of the media saying...
Lots of people
good
cry
on
when they
you,
win.
Showing emotion.
Yeah,
that's
what
great.
I mean, though. Lots of people cry when they win.
No, but you'll have...
Cry when you lose. That's when you're a baby.
Absolutely not. You have 50% of the public saying, oh, you're crying, you're soft. There's so many allegations thrown out every time a tear is shed, no matter when it's shed. And you're right.
You know, when Dirk came out and he talked about how the Heat making fun of him for being soft was just outrageous? I think the same thing would apply if you had Dirk crying with a face full of tears. And let's stick with this now. We'll move along. The problem that Josh is talking about that I had was Dirk Nowitzki, before the final buzzer had even gone, Dirk Nowitzki went straight to the locker room. Now, he goes straight to the locker room, and we don't even see Dirk for, what was it, about 5 minutes? Until the trophy
was
presented. That was the next time you saw Dirk.
He claims that he didn't even want to come out for the trophy presentation, that he was kind of dragged out there.
For me, that was strange, and I understand.
It was strange.
Well, definitely strange.
It's strange, but for me, it was disappointing because you watch – the reason you watch the NBA and all other sports is for those moments that you cherish the rest of your life. And we can talk about Kevin Garnett.
I was just going to bring that up.
When he wins the NBA championship, you see a tortured star that had to deal with years and years of criticism, and Dirk did that. He went through – the years of being too skinny, just a scorer, he'll never win. Oh, they made a mistake letting go of Steve Nash. He was the true star. Dirk is just a shooter. He's had his trial through fire. And everybody that's a Dirk fan wants that moment with him, wants to share their NBA finals. This is the image I have in my mind of Dallas winning. Do you have an image? Like, do you have an image that's of the Dallas Mavericks and not
Mark Cuban.
Exactly. You don't want Mark Cuban.
Mark
being
Cuban,
your image.
But we saw you and I both saw that image with Dirk and Terry hugging it out.
That was a quick catch of it. That was a great picture. We said no doubt. But that's not going to be an image.
I think
that
if the game had been
in
Dallas, it would have been a different reaction.
Yeah, it was a weird situation being in Miami
with all the fans flooding out.
I'm going to agree and I'm going to disagree with you, Bunkus, because I will admit that was the absolute strangest so-called post-championship celebration. I didn't think they won the championship. I thought maybe
it was a gimmick. I thought he had a shirt made or something he was going to go put on.
I thought he might have been a gimmick. I just figured there would be a cameraman that would catch the Michael Jordan I'm on the floor with the basketball.
It was very weird, but let me say this. Different strokes for different folks. People are different, and everyone reacts to success differently. Everyone reacts to failure differently. He's smart enough to know.
But he has a responsibility to the public that pays
his salary. I don't think he does it all. He won the title. He can celebrate.
He won the title. All those fans in Dallas that went to the airport. And are you joking me?
Those Dallas fans were
absolutely rabid. They deserved better than what they got from Dirk in the end.
They deserved better than what they got from Dirk. That is
I take issue to that because they deserve.
You know what I mean. I don't mean from a playing standpoint.
But I'm just saying,
I know what you mean, and I don't care for it because they deserve the person that Dirk is. That's the type of person Dirk is. He's not Kevin Garnett.
He knew how he was going to react.
He's not Kobe Bryant. He doesn't have to pound his chest.
You're an NBA superstar.
He's a private person. He's a private person, and
he took 5 minutes of his time to go gather himself and come back out.
That's his right.
He didn't. Okay, and here's the other thing that really bothers me, and this is something that I've measured. This is something that hockey does so well that every other league should really take a page out of their handbook, which is that hockey can be so violent, so brutal. Those series like we're watching right now with Vancouver and Boston, do you think there's any love lost between those teams? They're concussing each other. They have nothing but negative things to say about each other in the media. But when that series comes to an end, they put everything aside and realize that this was just business. They're just doing the same thing that they've been all paid to do,
it's
which
not
is go
just
out
business,
and
though.
Compete as best as they can. There are other elements in it, but when it comes down to it, at the end of the day, you need to be able to put things aside. If guys in the UFC shake hands and lift each other's hands up after they go five championship rounds with each other, pummeling each other's faces in, if hockey players who can go through a seven-game series full of fights, huge hits, controversial things like the Horton knockout.
It's a completely different
for
culture,
LeBron
though.
James, no,
absolutely.
Let me finish, because this is important. I don't care about culture. There's something called sportsmanship, and you teach that to kids at a young age, every age, which is that you go and you shake the hand of your opponent. And for LeBron James, because he's a part of this too. This
of
wasn't
course
just
he
Dirk.
Is.
LeBron James chickened out and went right to the locker
no,
room.
Not
Dwayne
the first
Wade,
time.
He,
Dwayne
shook,
Wade,
a few,
to his
he
credit,
shook a few hands.
Dwayne Wade, to his credit, stick around, congratulated Jason Kidd, rubbed
Chris
some Bosch head,
did as well.
Had a smile, Chris Bosch for a bit. LeBron James had a scowl on his face and went to that locker room. And Dirk Nowitzki, the same thing. You go out and you congratulate your competitors. Regardless of the Miami Heat losing, they're still Eastern Conference
That would be
champs.
The only problem I have with
you
it was
shake
the sportsmanship.
You show that example to kids. I'm tired of these superstars thinking that they're above the game and these excuses like it's a different culture. There is no excuse for not shaking your opponent's hand after a sporting match.
So what do you want, handshakes, hugs and kisses?
No, I don't want hugs and kisses. I just want a handshake, an acknowledgement of respect that you came out, you competed against me at your very best, and I gave you my best at the highest level of sport.
A handshake is nice, but
Cleans it up.
Listen. It's on the world stage at that point. So that's what you want. You want them on the world stage to congratulate each other.
I think a lot of people want
that. Yeah, a lot of people want that. For me, it's not.
You're gutless.
It's not a business. It's not. I am. But it's not. I'm sorry.
Gutless was a wrong term. What's something better? Heartless is a little better.
It's not a business. It's not a profession. It's more than that. It is more than that. And if I was the owner of a team, if I was Mark Cuban and one of my players said, it's a job, it's over now, I'd cut his ass. I'd cut his ass because it's more than that. So if they want to, that's why I'm so lenient towards the way Dirk had to deal with the situation. The wounds are very fresh at that point. If you have to walk out, walk out. If you're LeBron James, though, 10 minutes later, 20 minutes later, a day later. Text your boys. Congratulations.
The millions of dollars.
Congratulations.
Allow
good job.
You to just
good
shake
series.
A hand at the end of a series.
Deal with it
you're
the way
so
that you
emotional.
Need to. It's such an emotional situation after a game like
people
that.
People are doctors. People are lawyers. I know you're
comparing apples and oranges, though.
No, I'm not. I'm saying a doctor has an emotional job. It doesn't let him affect what he does at the end of the day.
I'm sure it does.
Of course
he goes home. He has a tear, but he's not going to allow it to affect him in front of his patients. Are you kidding? No.
No. But he doesn't have a trillion patients watching him all over the world.
Not if he's a doctor with his grain of salt. I'm so tired of that excuse.
If you're a doctor, you're not going to shake the hand of the guy who shot your victim directly after the surgery.
You might.
That's a terrible comparison.
If it's in the States.
back on topic.
Privatizing, you get some money for it. You might be ecstatic. How much does a bullet wound go for?
Oh, boy.
I know a pinky is, like, honestly, $10,000. So a bullet wound to fix that has to be.
I'm going to throw something out there. We are 20 minutes into this show.
Okay.
And aside from talking about Dirk.
We haven't talked about the game.
Dirk walking out. No, forget the game. We haven't talked about the Dallas Mavericks. We haven't given them their credit. True. I'm done with the Miami Heat.
All right, shut it
down.
I'm
done with them. Please, let's. No more Miami.
We can't get a sound effect for the shutdown, I know.
That was pretty good.
That wasn't bad.
That was pretty good.
That was okay. All right, yeah, let's go. Dallas Mavericks. First of all, let's congratulate.
First of all, this is ridiculous because they, in my mind, are one of the most deserving NBA champions ever for what they've went through in this NBA final.
Oh, what a season.
What do you think the ratio was in terms of, like, out of 10 people cheering for the Heat versus the Mavs?
9.5.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
I asked this question on Twitter. If you're not following me, shame on you. @JLou_sports at Twitter, or on Twitter.
Great handle.
And I felt bad having to ask this question. Right now, it's not even a question. It's not even a contest. But in 10 years from now, will this series be remembered, or will this season be remembered as the one that Dallas won their first ever NBA championship? Or will it be remembered as the championship that the Miami Heat lost?
And it's a great point, because I think it's the latter. And regardless of how deserving Dallas is, it's the latter.
You're right. It sucks that it is the latter, but
I thought Colbert put it best with saying Miami Heat are America's sweethearts.
Mavs fans will remember it, obviously, for the Mavs winning the title. Yeah. True NBA aficionados will remember it.
Yeah, as Jason Kidd's first title.
For both.
But the thing is, Dallas will be pegged as the Miami Slayers.
The general NBA fan or the general sports fan in 10 years from now are going to remember this as the year that Miami lost. And maybe it's the year before three Miami championships if they go on to win championships. Maybe it's the first of many failures for this team, but that's what this is going to be remembered as. And that is a travesty.
It was the Dallas Mavericks' first ever title, and it won't be remembered for that.
Give me 30 seconds here, but one of the hardest paths that anyone will ever take to the NBA Finals. And listen, I realize Miami went through Boston and Chicago, and I realize that you can't get to the NBA Championships without having to earn it along the way. But the Mavs had to face four of the NBA's top five scorers this season in LeBron, Wade, Durant, and
Kobe
in order to get the NBA Finals. They just missed Carmelo Anthony, basically.
You could kind of throw Russell Westbrook in
there.
LaMarcus Aldridge.
And then crash Gerald Wallace, and you got
and they lost
Pau Gasol, and you look at these teams that they beat, and then you look at the NBA Finals, one of the best ever, beating one of the best teams on paper, at least.
Matty, you got a viewership stat for that, right?
Oh, yeah, the ratings. It was the highest in 7 years.
7 years, yeah, that was a great series.
Give them their goddamn credit, because this is like I said before, it's a travesty. It's an absolute travesty, because Miami didn't. Well, LeBron kind of lost it, but
not only that,
Dallas won this title.
Let's look back at how they did it. They ended up beating a Portland team that basically called them out, that said that they wanted to draw them. Do you remember that? They said they wanted to draw.
Not only do I remember it,
called the upset.
I had Portland in the first round. Yeah. I had the Lakers beating Dallas.
Many
I even said
did.
OKC could beat them.
Portland was a flashy pick, like they really were, and Dallas was taking no respect into these finals.
None.
And again, we had all these things against Dirk, the stereotypes that still existed, which was Dirk can't win. He can't win on his own. He doesn't have enough team there to support him. And what we saw through these finals was that
support
Mavericks team has
from everywhere.
Great support. They lost Caron Butler during the season. It was supposed to be a death blow. And
you really can't name a player on that roster who didn't step up at one point.
Exactly.
Even Brian Cardinal.
And Mahimi. I can never get that guy's name.
Jan Mahimi.
How is it? Say it for
Mahimi.
Me. Mahimi. Every time they say I get it.
It's not Ian. It's Jan.
Yeah. Jan.
Jan Mahimi.
Even he did. In that game six, he had two huge plays. He had that massive throw it off, was it Bosch's foot?
And then that shot at
and
the end
the
of the shot. Quarter.
Yeah, it was amazing. Everybody in that, I guarantee you everyone in Dallas was losing their mind. Mahimi jerseys probably.
Did you see the bench? The bench was losing it too.
Yeah, I love moments like that. I love when role players come in and fill it. But if you look at that roster from top to bottom, you've got the likes of J.J. Barea, really made a name
Deshaun
for himself.
Deshaun Stevenson.
He's going to be pulling in a nice contract.
Sean Marion's.
Sean Marion had a great playoffs. He shut LeBron down. he and LeBron had identical numbers through the first three games.
Like, and Jason Terry wasn't consistent, but man, did he come up when you needed him.
Oh, exactly.
We talked a lot about bandwagon fans today, ripping on our boy Jimmy Mangos.
Yes,
and
we have.
I just said that I picked Portland to win. I picked OKC. I picked the Lakers. And
picked against them every time. So did I.
And now I'm loving this Mavs
team.
You're
a bad bandwagon jumper.
I don't want to be considered that. I want to be very clear in my stance here. I underestimated this team, and now I can do nothing other than give them the credit they deserve. This is not me saying that I'm a Mavs guy, that I picked them to win. This is the opposite. This is me saying I underestimated them, and I'm giving them their credit.
Since we didn't have apologies, we can just do a three-way sweeping. We're sorry to the Dallas Mavericks for
I don't think
Dallas fans are. Dallas fans are very, very confident.
Yeah, they're not sorry for shit.
Yeah, they're not sorry. Just for those of you that don't know, there's an episode of, what is it? Being Erica being shot at our school today.
It's very distracting. We've got all these hippies
walking by.
It's a
flashback episode to the 1960s.
60s skirts.
Which they're absolutely brutalizing, according to Jim Taddy, that no one dressed this way in 1969. He says they're pulling off more of a 50s move. And for those of you that don't know Jim Taddy,
they're historically incorrect.
That's a very, very accurate source that I trust. And
I like the guy with the football Letterman jacket.
Yeah,
that
the football
Giannis,
Letterman jacket
you could probably beat him up pretty easy.
Whoa, why me? Because
you're so little.
Wow. I'm bigger than Josh.
Yeah, but like
I'm tough.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, he is.
I got the JJ Barea heart.
They got
the with. Only I'm missing the
what's that?
I'm missing the girlfriend that JJ Barea.
Krav Maga. You got some of that? Krav Maga. Got some of that in you?
I don't know what that means.
You don't know? That's like the fighting style, the Israeli fighting style.
Oh yeah,
Krav Maga.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah. No, I remember that from How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, you're the least Jewish person that that's Jewish that I know.
I know. Korolnik would know what Krav Maga is.
Krav Maga. All right. So Aaron Korolnik, you owe us some Krav Maga talk. Anyways,
I've never been owed that before.
All right, let's take a quick break. Apparently, Kemba Walker is going to be up in Canada soon, so we're going to play some Mobb Deep.
So
up
excited.
North trip. That's what apparently Kemba's taking. So, yeah, we'll leave you with Mobb Deep for a couple minutes, and we'll come right back and talk some more finals.
The way things is looking, it's Friday. You went for a long stay, getting shackled on the bus first thing come Monday. Hoping in your mind you'll be released one day, but knowing home is a place you're not going for a long while. Now you're up on the L, in a position that you ain't got, you refusing to smile. But keep in mind there's a brighter day after your time spent. It used to be wild, but locked up you can't get bent. Don't you can hack it. Now you request a PC, you're fragile. It ain't hard to see. Niggas like that don't associate with me. I'd rather get busy to the third degree. Cause the warm population's on infinitely. If this is the street, my razor would be a Mac Demon. Hit you up, leave your whole face screaming. What you in for, kid? Busting nuts, caps heard of me in street stories. Caught inside this trap. Who were you to look at me with your eyes like that? Wising up, young blood, before you make things escalate. And I would hate to set your crooked ass straight. Making moves at night, packing heat in this war zone. Niggas is tripe, running for one time. Ain't no time to slip. Make more force moving, it's a up north trip. Living the high life, making moves at night. Pack your heat in this war zone, niggas is strife, running for one time. Ain't no time to slip, make one force moving, it's a up north trip.
You tried to dip, duck, but still got buck. You talk too much shit, you should've kept your mouth shut. All that gossip, motherfucker, don't you know my Glock kicks hollow tips to your body mad toxic. I fade you, blow you with a rusty ass razor. Did you a favor, try to wet you, but I grazed you. Pop goes the Glock, when this beef on the block. Chill for a while, make them think the beef stopped. Then I creep like a thief in the night. It's only right, ain't no turning back. It's on tonight, and if I get caught, then my ass is up north. Straight on the course for upstate New York. Stress, smoking back-to-back cigarettes. And pop dog on point in the mess hall. But to avoid that, from head to toe dipped in all black. Get them niggas where they pump they cracks at. Havoc with the murder master plan. Keep my nine up the ball so my shit won't jam.
The infamous Mobb Deep.
Props Mobb Deep.
Props right up. So, yeah, let's go back to the NBA Finals. Because, again, we haven't... We haven't given we haven't given Dallas enough of the props yet.
No one has.
We've acknowledged that no one is doing it.
45-hour show to do that.
But let's start off with going over that game, because I thought that was a pretty interesting ball game. Game six. Yeah, you've got historically teams going on the road in the NBA in the last two games. There's not a great history of success there. As we mentioned on the last show, only one team, which was a Bill Russell team, ended up winning a finals on the road in a game seven. So to win on the road in a game six is rather impressive too. The one thing that I will give Dallas is that when you take that Miami Heat crowd out of it, you take them completely out of it.
They're and they gone. Did it with if the
you,
long ball.
You need to, for Miami, you need to get that crowd going right away. And if not, and it seemed that way actually, because we started off the game, LeBron James went 4 of 4. And I tweeted, uh-oh. I thought LeBron was absolutely going to go off. He had that one game where he mentioned it was game three. He said he was going to come out in attack mode. I thought this was kind of replicating that experience. And then all of a sudden, Dwayne Wade started to get it going.
LeBron obviously had to get Juwan Howard involved in the game.
Juwan Howard did get involved in the game. Juwan Howard's a dirty player. He has no business in this league anymore.
How old is he?
He's 40. He's a little under that, but he's like 38, 39. Yeah, if you were part of the Fab Five and you're still in the NBA, get out. Like, Jalen Rose has been out.
What are the chances that between him, Jalen Rose, and Chris Webber that Juwan Howard was the last one standing?
Yeah, no kidding.
Good point.
Oh, good Lord. That's a great one. But then, of course, on the other end, you had Dirk absolutely struggling. He was horrendous to start the game.
Oh, it was terrible.
He even coming out of the break, I remember thinking he went into halftime. I was like, okay, that's...
It was worse than missing shots that he had been making, because he was missing shots that were even better than the ones that he was making. He was getting good looks.
He was getting amazing looks. And, you know, he started the game 1 for 12.
Yeah, he was brutal.
1 for 12. Dirk Nowitzki missing. Like Josh said, they were leaving him wide open at the top of the key. He's bricking everything.
All the more reason why I'm so impressed with this team, because it's no longer... You can no longer consider this a one-man team. This is... The biggest stage in the biggest game of the series, and your boy, your guy, your dude is struggling beyond belief.
It's kind of funny because I still call it almost a one-man team, but it's a team that understands how to play when that one-man team.
Two games, though, big time. Oh, yeah, one game he was sick, and that they won game four in Dallas, and as well as game six in Miami, were both huge, huge
and
Dallas
it's really important,
rallying
though,
for Dirk.
That the team knew how to rally, because you see the Miami Heat not have any clue on how to react when LeBron's not hitting shots. Or I'm currently reading your book, Giannis, by Stephen Brunt, the Bobby Orr book, where they talk about Bobby Orr's injury.
I thought he wrote a book.
Search for Bobby Orr, where they talk about how his team was able to help Bobby when he was hurt, and it looked the same way to me when Dirk was sick. When Dirk was missing shots, guys like Terry, J.J. Barea in that game, he scored, what is it, 15 points.
Stick with Terry first, though, because Terry, when we say Dirk started 1 of 12,
oh,
the Jet started 8 of 10.
The Jet was the man.
The Jet carried them. He finished as the player of the game with 27 points.
My favorite
Jet. 19 first-half points for the Jet.
You could see the swagger dripping off him, too.
He said he wasn't going to pull out the Jet until he won the championship, and he ended up busting it out.
We see constantly with the Jet big first halves, and then he tends to fall off a little bit in the second half. That wasn't the case here.
No, he's a big fourth quarter guy.
He had a big game. Yeah, that's true. He had a big game, and my favorite Jet move that he tends to do.
The flexing point?
Well, yeah. But I love when they're running the fast break, and instead of – he knows he's not a big guy. He knows what he is. He'll pull up around the free throw line and knock in that shot when they're on a fast break, something that is so rare in the NBA these days. You see these little guys going in for the highlight play when they're being defended.
He's very good at getting his own space that way.
He absolutely crushed Mike Miller's ankles a few times. And exactly what Josh is talking about. The dribble drive, penetrate, and then quick crossover to his left hand, and then he pulls up and shoots, and it's money. He's butter.
What's changed with Jason Terry since 2006? When they lost in the finals, is he knows his game so much more. He's not a point guard. He knows he's not a point guard.
He's back in 06, it seemed like he tried to do a lot of things that he wasn't really comfortable with. But here, he like you said, he was very comfortable in his role, and he never looked out of control, really. And he made a lot of passes still. Although he had 27 points, he still made a lot of really smart passes that maybe not assists. But
he's a combo guard, and he knows that. And that was the great thing about the team in general. What this Dallas Mavericks team reminded me of, anyways, was the LA Lakers team that won the championship the previous 2 years, in that everyone on that team knew their role. There's no false illusions. That's a knock that I have on Miami. They're still trying to find themselves as to who do you go at the end of games, who does
what
at which
time. If your best players don't know their role, then how are the role
players
supposed
Everyone on Dallas knows they are playing for Dirk. Dirk is the boss, but they know Jason Terry is the combo guard. He's the guy that's going to get them going when Dirk's struggling.
He's the perfect sixth man.
Miami established Mario Chalmers as the point guard.
Exactly
prior to game six.
The problem there.
Want
Why
talk about role definition and not knowing Mike Baby did he play?
That's the difference.
I don't think
in
Baby
the
played. I'm almost positive.
No, in game six he
did
not.
Six,
Mario
yeah.
Chalmers doesn't need to be shooting 14 shots either.
Yeah. Although,
a team that doesn't know their role.
I'm fairly certain Mario Chalmers has to be the first Alaskan to start in an NBA Finals.
At the end
game.
Of the game, Eddie House is taking shots. You're paying three guys a gazillion dollars and. Eddie House is taking shots.
Let's talk about that third guy quick, though, because he had a great game six. And he had two games, I thought, in that series. And I said last episode that we would not give him any credit. But two of the six games, Chris Bosh actually played pretty lights out. And I thought game six, he was the best player on the floor for Miami. When they were dying and when they were absolutely losing the game, when the Dallas started stretching to 10 points there, I thought him digging up that one ball and taking that end one after Dwayne Wade's end
one.
Oh,
yeah. I know the one.
That was like
about.
The only moment in the game from their point on where you actually thought, Miami has a chance. And
yeah,
sadly,
you saw a bit of fire of some fight.
Sadly, you had the feeling a little bit that if Chris Bosh couldn't execute, no one could.
And it was crazy. LeBron hit a couple shots late too, but he wasn't like excited about the shots.
No, but
they
his
were
shots
just...
were total garbage time shots. He was missing everything in the fourth.
He was early.
Brutal. Yeah, and when there was no time left, he comes down. He hit that one shot, and then the very next possession down the floor, he came down and he absolutely burst one up the back
far
iron.
Too late.
Yeah, I'm still not giving Chris Bosh a single iota of credit. I was infinitely more impressed with Udonis Haslem in the series.
In game six, though. In game six, you were more impressed with Udonis
Haslem. No, I'm talking about the series.
Okay.
And even in game six a little bit, Udonis Haslem contributed so much more to the Heat's chances to actually win the championship.
Like
defensively,
that technical foul he took?
Yes. Yeah. Defensively on Dirk, he was fantastic. That's as good as you can defend Dirk throughout the entire series. Chris Bosh missed so many shots that he must make on a team like that. That's your role at this point. You hit those shots, you hit free throws, and he wasn't. And he wasn't the only one. Wade was missing free throws. LeBron was missing free throws, specifically speaking.
They were 20 for 33 that game.
It seems like the refs were doing everything possible to send that game to a game seven because the free throw differential wasn't so much different than what we saw in 2006.
Maybe they don't like baseball.
We actually saw a play in that game that Dwayne Wade got fouled that looked exactly like that game five.
Yeah,
where Dwayne Wade splits the D and no one touches him and he ends up getting a foul call because he flails his arms. And then you see the actual the center court cam. And you can see the lane that Dwayne Wade just walked through without being touched and draws a foul. That did drive me nuts. I thought also Dwayne Wade, when he got that technical, that was really foolish. All these games have been decided by 3, 4 points, 1 point.
The whole team just looks mentally fragile.
Can we talk about that fight or that scrimmage in the first half?
I don't really know what that was.
Deshaun Stevenson?
Udonis Haslem talking trash first.
I think it was actually Deshaun Stevenson. I think what happened was Eddie House had hit that three. He obviously reacted to hitting his only
Deshaun
shot
started
in the
three for
finals.
Three, right? So he had some swag going. He started that game, Deshaun Jackson, 3-for-3.
The problem,
with 2 threes.
As far as I understood it, was House.
What did I say, Jackson?
Yeah, again.
The problem, as I understood it, was House was celebrating after a shot the way that he tends to do. And I think Stevenson told him to calm the F down. And that's where it kind of started. Then Udonis got in there. And then, obviously,
Joel Anthony sprinted in there.
I've never seen someone so excited at the possibility of a brawl.
That's the Canadian in that boy right there.
Yeah, definitely.
Congratulations to you, Joel Anthony.
I gave him props around
the
spot. Like, who's that?
You might get a letter from the NBA.
The toughness was nice to see, but at the same time, so much on the line. Calm the hell down.
Calm down. For sure. And that's the same thing I mentioned with Dwayne's technical. Last thing with this game, though, that we had to talk was, again, Miami Heat fans filing for the exits with 5 minutes left to play.
Surprised? Are you?
I'm not surprised, but what I will say is this, is when we talked about just a little bit briefly before giving credit to the fans, those Dallas fans were unbelievable. And when they were leaving that game five, they were celebrating it like they had just won the championship, celebrating their team, knowing that the odds were against them going to Miami, even up 3-2, that it was going to be tough for them to get a win in that building. And what did the Miami fans do? They made it easy. Wow, did they ever make it easy. They were quiet all game. They had no energy, no heart.
Let us not forget that this is a city that had to issue an ad or a pamphlet to these fans before the season, instructing them to be in their seats on time, and this is how you cheer for your team. Yeah. These are not great fans.
No, yeah, they're brutal.
They're terrible fans.
You would think, though, that with LeBron turning down and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, all turning down offers from big-time cities like
with
New
York. With big-time money.
And Chicago with great histories and great fan bases that absolutely would kill themselves to get tickets to those games. And then you go to Miami where, honestly, they couldn't care less.
I can hear the Supersonic in you talking
now. You know what? Honestly, move that team to Seattle and you'll have Key Arena will be the loudest place in the freaking world.
That's a good point you make, though, because there's a difference between a city or a fan base that puts butts in the seats versus ones that actually exercise their right to be there and to be true fans, and there's
it just shows you how much more money and weather played into their decision for these two guys. And it's not, again, I refuse to acknowledge their "we just wanted to win together" baloney, because again, these guys could have found places to be together in New York. They could have found a way to be together in Chicago. Not quite in Chicago, but still, we could have seen.
I don't know that they could have done that. In
New York was possible. New York was a possibility. All three.
It would have been very, very difficult because they still had a few contracts on there.
They would have got rid of them at any cost. If New York had a hope, they would have got them all three.
It would have been a lot tougher.
A lot tougher
because Miami had to clear Beasley.
And plus, Miami also
New York
has
had
the,
to clear.
We can pay you
a,
less because you won't get taxed any. That was a big thing for them, too.
What percentage of Miami fans are bandwagon fans, you think?
All.
90?
Okay, let me tell you something 80%? About the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat have two retired jerseys in their stadium. One belongs to who? Can you get
Alonzo Mourning?
No. Actually, sorry. Alonzo Mourning did just get his jersey retired. They have three. They have three now. Alonzo just got it retired there to legitimize the other
two. Timbug.
No. I guess I wish. That would make it legitimate. No, the other two jerseys are number 13, Dan Marino, because of his impact on the Miami area. And the other one is Michael Jordan for all of his quote-unquote great performances in Miami.
I thought Tim Hardaway was retired.
No, Tim Hardaway. Nope, no Miami Heat. Just Alonzo Mourning, him. And I think if anybody goes up next, it'll be Ronnie Cicely. I'm not even joking. Tim Hardaway, he in Miami with a massive, massive gay population, the guy that said, "I hate gay people." It'll be a while before.
Yeehaw!
It'll be a while before Tim the Redneck Hardaway sees a Miami banner go, or sees his jersey go up in Miami anyways. What else?
We're going to talk about what's next for these teams next year?
Yeah, sure.
Should there be a season? Because there's a lot of free agents on that Dallas team.
Should there be a season next year? Well, Dallas, we'll start with Dallas.
Well, they deserve to be started.
Dallas.
How hungry is Mark Cuban at this point? Is he okay with the fact that, okay, I finally won my championship? Time to take it easy? Or
well,
do,
of course, you re-sign J.J. Barrett? These are free agents. So you got a list of this, somebody?
I do.
I do.
Yeah, okay. Listen to me.
Tyson Chandler, Caron Butler, Deshaun Stevenson, J.J. Barrett, Brian Cardinal, obviously.
The custodian.
And Peja Stojak.
If you don't re-sign Tyson Chandler, you will regret it.
I figure Tyson's.
Do you give him $12.5 million like he's making right now?
Yeah, no. He takes a huge pay cut.
No, he takes a pay cut, but he brought so much to that team on the defensive end.
Does he take a pay cut, though? Is there not? Do you not think, based on what he did this year, that there's a team out there willing to give him
at least 10 million? Raptors better take a run at Tyson Chandler because they already did.
Yeah.
They already did take a run at him. Why not?
There's actually a lot of really solid big men on the market.
Yeah, there is. It's a solid big man market.
Marcus Gasol is out there. Nene. So
Nene's going back to Denver, though. That's almost a guarantee.
Yeah, I heard that, too.
Yeah,
that's what.
But back on topic, I think you're insane to not do anything you can to bring back Tyson Chandler. Before this year,
okay,
Dallas
was
not thought of.
Who's the most
of
important guy to bring back?
Tyson Chandler.
So you think it's Tyson?
Before this year, Dallas was not even thought of in the top 10 defensive teams, Tyson Chandler changed their entire way they played D.
You have to be cautious with throwing money at people, especially
coming off career contract years.
Exactly, and especially like he's not an old guy by any means. He came out of high school, so he still, I believe,
he's had injury problems.
28.
He's had a lot of injury problems. Yeah,
he's had injuries. But he once failed a physical. He was supposed to play for the Oklahoma City Thunder.
You're right.
He failed a physical.
Granted, I'm going to make a comparison here, and you're not going to like it because granted, the Raptors were never close to winning a championship. But you remember that one big year that they had? They made it.
Yeah, when they lost to the Sixers.
Yeah. They beat the Knicks. They finally won a playoff series. And they had a couple years where they were looking good. And I believe it was Antonio Davis, Jerome Williams, Alvin Williams, all free agents.
Yep.
And the thing to do at that point, obviously, was you have to pay these guys. Yep. They got you where you are now. You want to continue to build on what you've done. You throw whatever you need to do. You must keep them. Like Matt said, you can't afford to let, like Tyson Chandler, you can't afford to let him go. You must pay them. And look at what happened there. So you don't want to overpay for this guy just based solely on what he did for you this year.
What would be overpaying for him, do you think?
It's tough to say.
Well, first of all, we have to wait on negotiations between these two teams. Yeah. Because if there's a hard cap, then that changes everything.
Everything.
So if there's still a luxury tax and a soft cap, then a guy like Tyson Chandler still has room to make that kind of money. That being said, if there is a hard cap, I think that the most important guy for them to keep at this point is Mr. J.J. Barea.
J.J. Barea. We talked about this
and
yesterday.
The point behind J.J. Barea being so important is he's not the kind of guy I think you can rely on to be your starting point guard. Like, solely he's out there full game. You know, 48 minutes he's going to plug in for you.
No, he's a bench guy.
But, yeah, but that's exactly it, is that he's one of those guys, like who we compared him to last week, Leandro Barbosa, who's considering buying out of his contract and going back to Brazil. He has a unique element to his game that people don't want to handle.
He's very, very unorthodox because of his size.
Tricked everybody and then ends up getting a free layup when he's in there with the bigs and they're just shaking their heads. That's the kind of guy he is. He's unique. He's different.
And it's not the kind of moves that you can make in 38 minutes a game, but he's the perfect complement for Jason Kidd. And I was telling you this.
That's
honest.
The thing, though. How long does Jason Kidd said.
He still has a couple more years.
He's
he said
a good
two
couple.
To three, Jason yeah. Kidd.
Barea
he said 17 years in the league now. We're going to give him 2 to 3 years? Really? That's if you're the Mavericks, you want to rely on Jason Kidd for
you don't want
years.
That, well, that's what I'm saying.
He looked
so
great
tough.
To me.
Do you want to throw that money at Tyson Chandler and then be
looked
screwed?
Great on defense, yeah.
Do you want to commit to Jason Kidd and then be screwed in the coming years?
Yeah,
with
that's
Barea,
it.
He was made. Barea was making just under $2 million this year.
1.5.
Yeah.
The other big wild card in that group is Caron Butler. Caron Butler is somebody that's not an all-star, but he's a fringe.
How much
he's
do
a fringe
these guys in. Get, though? That's the
that's
thing.
It, that's Caron's it. He's
making
10.5
this year. Tyson making
but if
just
you can
under
get Caron
13,
at 7, if you can
you
get
Caron him.
At 7, you got to keep him. You have to. Hard they, cap or not.
It's tough. Cuban's going to have a lot of work ahead of him this summer when and if there is, well, when there is a new CBA on the table.
Peja goes. That's one that you.
He's not coming back. There's no way. He won a ring. See
pretty
if
sure
his career. Great career, buddy.
He's going to pack up the bags. Brian Cardinal you might bring back just because.
You can get him cheap.
You can get him for
these guys
the
are
going
to draw major dollars.
We talked about those fouls? Those Brian Cardinal, the custodian, absolutely.
Just hammering
leveling
people.
Chris Bosh across the
if
face.
If you're Brian Cardinal, that's what you got to do. That's your key to staying
I know,
in the league.
But can you believe you didn't get a flagrant foul for that?
No.
Honest to God.
For sure.
I could not.
Finals, I guess.
It's the NBA Finals.
Still, though,
yeah, Brian Cardinal swinging his arms.
Smacked him right across the face.
But do you guys agree with me that Tyson Chandler's at the peak of who they need to resign.
He's one of the guys they
JJ
really
Barea,
need.
I agree. I
yes,
think the JJ.
But the thing is, though, is Brendan Haywood was on the bench for this entire series. He's another guy that they have. They have some front court depth, is all.
It's about dollars and it's about their future at this point because they can't get carried away in the fact that they just won the title and they have to bring back these guys. They have to plan towards the future because there is a future for this
that
team.
That being said, though,
despite
too,
the fact that Kidd's aging, Dirk's aging, they do have to win. Right now, their window is closing, but at the same time, they can't be throwing long-term contracts.
Yeah, no long-terms. I know.
At guys like Chandler, at guys like Butler even, at guys like Barea even, too. You're going to have to give this guy probably, I would say, at least $4 million, which is more than twice of what he was making this year.
He's making like 1.1?
1.5.
Yes. I have 1.8.
Yeah. 1.8, okay. Yeah, this is a little bit different.
Under two, regardless.
Under two, he's going to make, I would say, $3 or $4 million next year. Do you lock this guy up long-term? I don't know that you want to lock anyone up long-term at this point. So it's tough. Mark Cuban's going to have a lot of work ahead of him. And
what do you do with DeSean Stephenson?
He's let him
free
walk.
Agent, too. I let him walk,
you
for
let
sure.
Him walk, just based on contracts and the fact that you have
he barely
guys
played
that
in Game 6 after the semi-fight went
yeah.
down.
You can't find too many minutes for him. There's
he'll find
no
work somewhere,
oh, yeah,
but
no
I don't think it will be it'll
Mark,
be at
Mark Cuban has his work cut out for him, but Pat Riley, I think, has
think
an even
he could
tougher
beat Gilbert Arenas in a three-point contest now?
What?
DeSean Stevenson? Do you think that he has
maybe?
He has
whoa,
better chance?
Whoa,
you remember that video,
is,
right?
Is Gilbert shooting
Gilbert
one-handed?
Rolling around. Yeah, that was the challenge. Gilbert shot what,
one hand
shot?
From
one
college
hand
three,
college
and then
three,
DeSean
shot
two-handed from NBA.
And he
Gilbert
him.
Won.
I just want to talk quickly before we go to break about what Pat Riley has to do basically this summer, which is a probably even tougher thing than what Mark Cuban has to do because, as we know, he's working with very little cap
space, and a lot of those fringe guys that
we know well from this year,
Mike Bibby, Mario Chalmers, Juwan Howard, Jamal McGlure, all these guys that were sitting at the end of the bench that they were trying to plug into various roles this year will be free agents. What do you do? How do you surround LeBron, Wade, and Bosch with the talent that they need to win these championships? Really? Honestly,
yes, you do. And that's, sorry, but it's just what you have to do. When you're that invested in three superstars like that, how do you think Mike Miller showed up there? You think Mike Miller was just an absolute anomaly? No, he's friends with those guys.
And how did that work out?
The thing with Mike Miller was the Udonis Haslem thing in Miami was also very...
What, Udonis taking less?
No, they played...
They're playing together.
They're boys.
Yeah, no, I know. But I'm just saying that that's exactly it. You asked your core. I would almost throw Udonis into that core. I really would, because he was with Wade for that first championship. He's your heart and soul guy.
What kind of money does Mario Chalmers get next year?
Okay, well, first of all, everybody that comes to Miami has to know the drill at this point, which if you're coming to Miami, you're taking less money. One's getting paid.
If you're
here,
Pat Riley, scrap it. Scrap all those guys. Get rid of Chalmers. Get rid of Bibby.
I agree.
All of them. Start fresh. You take Danny Ainge out for dinner, and you find out what went through his mind while he was building his championship team that he surrounded the big three with, because none of this was working. Chalmers had his moments in the playoffs. We know that.
Startup point guard than Bibby.
Doesn't say much. But none of this is working. You need to surround these three guys with complementary talent that Mario Chalmers and Mike Bibby and all these guys. Joel Anthony, to his credit, like he does things well.
I like Joel Anthony on that team.
These aren't the right guys.
You don't think Joel Anthony's right? When you talked about role players, he knows his role.
What's his role right now?
He's a
rebound,
block
blocker. Shots.
His role right now is a starting NBA center. I don't care.
No, but he's not in the capacity of like all other guys that such
he's
as
undersized.
Nene, who we mentioned.
He's undersized at center.
He's there to block shots.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. But his role,
rebounds.
The role that they've had him in, he's starting.
Yeah.
He's playing starter
with
minutes.
That's fine.
Joel Anthony's a good fit on that team for 10 minutes a game.
But why would you want a guy that takes the ball out of LeBron James, Chris Bosh, or Dwayne Wade's hands?
You don't. You want somebody in that Joel Anthony mold, I would say. I just don't think he's that guy. I don't think he plays that role well enough.
How about a guy who just played in Sacramento and now is a free agent who will definitely not command a lot of money?
Honestly, brilliant. Brilliant. No,
I just read about that much
of a difference between Sam Dallenberg and Joel Anthony.
I do.
Size, and it won't cost you much to get him, and he'll do this almost the same job.
I thought Joel Anthony proved that job.
I thought Joel Anthony did a great job too, but you'll only have Joel Anthony. Big Z's got a player option on his contract, but he's retiring. Jamal McGlure's gone.
Let's all be serious.
Eric Dampier's gone.
Come back.
Like, you don't have the depth in the middle.
The center rotation. Do you feel more comfortable with Joel Anthony / Zildjunas Ilgauskas, or do you feel more comfortable with a Dallenberg, let's say, / Anthony. Anthony in that role off the bench, 10 minutes coming in behind a Dallenberg. Beautiful.
Would be perfect. The energy.
I generally like the backup to give it a little bit of change of pace.
Like a Troy Murphy type,
exactly,
that.
Actually, I thought Troy Murphy, them missing that signing when he chose Boston, was pretty big.
Well, he didn't contribute much either. But
right. Whatever. Well, just the Far Side. They're in Toronto this week doing a free show Friday. Here's Return of the B-Boy.
Yeah. And all the ladies love me because I'm pigeon toe. I step in the party and I bust my move. Cold rock the mic with the hip hop groove. Sucker MC try to call my bluff. You better beware.
I will be there for that free show. I love free things. I love hip hop.
Who are you going with? Awesome.
I'm going to go with Big Mike Woodrow.
I knew you'd say that.
He's the man. We're also going to see EPMD soon.
Have fun with that.
We will. We will have a lot
Give
of fun.
Give me a t-shirt.
EPMD's not free, though. I should have played an EPMD song today. Maybe. I think I already played one a couple weeks ago, though. Because we did the Fab Five episode. And they listen to them a lot, so we
My
we
knowledge
gave them
on
shout
most
out.
Of your hip-hop is somewhat low.
All righty. We're going to do everybody's favorite segment of the show, 24-second shot clock. It's where I give my contestants to my left and right here 24 seconds to answer a couple hot topics in the NBA. As always, we start it with Matty Hayes.
Here we go.
So, Matty, what do we got on the docket for you today? Question one, Mark Cuban, the owner of the now championship-winning Dallas Mavericks, suggests he would like something to forego the championship rings, and instead he wants something more original. Matty Hayes, what would your original ring be?
Well, it would be a ring, for starters. I think Mark Cuban, I give you all the props for trying to be creative. I don't know what you're going to get. What you're the Dallas Mavericks. You're going to get cowboy hats, championship cowboy hats. A ring is kind of tradition. It's your first title. Don't spoil it by making it a gimmick. Give your boys some pretty gold rings.
Oh, so no thing original. What about you, Josh?
Leave it to Cuban to suggest getting rid of the championship ring. I don't know. He does it big in Texas. Why not championship helicopters or a fighter jet, maybe? Championship musket? How does that sound?
Championship musket?
A golden musket.
Oh, oh.
Can have jewels along the side and,
All right, that's pretty good.
Damn, Mark Cuban.
I have no suggestion for you, Mark Cuban. I'm with Maddie. Get the freaking ring. Be like Phil.
Don't screw up your first championship. Get a nice ring.
Yeah, get a ring. Stop trying to be so OG. All right, next question. And Josh, he gets this one. And I think you're going to like this one, Josh.
I always do.
I do. Nate Robinson,
oh boy,
arrested in New York City suburb for urinating on a sidewalk outside a bookstore just before 2 a.m. on Friday. Josh, where's the weirdest place you ever took a pee?
Wait, why is Nate Robinson hanging out by a bookstore at 2 a.m.?
In New York? I have no idea.
Waiting for the new Harry Potter.
He's a Seattle boy. I don't know.
I've peed in some pretty weird places. I don't know. It's a weekly occurrence for me. Like, you go out on the weekend and you have some beverages. And sometimes
you pee in an alley.
Sometimes you just gotta pee. I could literally be arrested every week.
Yes, it's true. That shouldn't be a crime. Maddie?
I give props to Nate Robinson for just doing it. I don't care if you're a celebrity or not. Everybody's gotta pee somewhere. If you haven't peed in an alley or on the side of a building, you're lying to me right now, because everybody's done it.
When?
My strangest place? Too strange for air? But still, again, props to Nate Robinson.
Second. Can I get an answer, a straight answer here? No? No one wants to share where they peed? All right.
Okay. I got one.
Give me one.
I got one. I was working at Canada's Wonderland. Oh, God, this is going to get me in trouble. I was working at Canada's Wonderland for 6 years, actually. And my last day on the sixth year, when I was finally going out, and I was a manager at this point. So
nice,
I was still young, though. Still a little immature. But
young
I was,
manager.
Yeah, a young manager. They held me to high standards, and I urinated on some of those stuffed toys that they give out on a
That's really
as
gross.
Prizes. So, yeah. Kids,
don't take the stuffed toys.
Oh, no, I just remember mine now.
Can I say mine?
Yeah, you can.
When I actually got in a little trouble for this too, and this is kind of gross, but when I was in, I think I was around 11 or 12, I have a little brother. He's 5 years younger than me, my best friend in the whole world. But that night, I totally screwed him. My little brother, he stopped peeing the bed. And we shared a room.
You're the worst brother
ever. You pissed
ever.
On your brother's
I
bed?
I pissed on my brother. The worst part was is that he woke up while I was pissing, and he was like, oh, you peed on me. And I was like, no, you peed the bed. And my aunt actually busted me, and then later in the night, my uncle came in.
That's the most
revolting
thing I've ever heard in my life.
I didn't pee on his face.
You pissed
on
your brother.
Yeah, I pissed on over the sheets on his, like, bed, on his, like, cover.
You're both terrible people.
You need serious. No, well,
listen,
like,
you peed on animals for children.
On children's toys? I didn't pee on the actual children.
It wasn't like skin.
I don't even feel bad about me.
You need help.
You don't even get to go now, I think.
I can't top it. Do you want me to try?
Yeah, try.
What'd you pee on? This is a story of customer service. If someone is doing something for you, be nice to them. I used to work at a gas station, and when you come in and order people to do stuff, it's just annoying to hear. So we washed windows at a gas station, and if you were going to be a dick, you got a certain bucket of windshield washer fluid on your car.
Oh. Wow.
One of those buckets you don't want to have.
I'm depraved. I don't pee on animals and in buckets at the gas station.
While he sleeps. Moving on.
To be fair, my brother's a tough kid. I didn't even queue up the clock for that one. Rattled.
That spun out of control.
All right, let's go back to basketball and instead of peeing. So
we need more than one series a week to talk about.
I think I'm done here. I don't know how I can proceed
after. Maddie, Monte Ellis.
Oh, the trade.
Rumors that he's leaving
Monte
Golden
Ellis
State.
For Andre Iguodala. Great trade for both teams, I think. I think they bring completely different things. I heard talks of Biedrins and Lou Williams switching places as well. Again, I think the trade works for both teams. I think Philly will win out because I think Monte Ellis has a higher ceiling than Iguodala at this point in his career. Monte Ellis is an amazing talent.
I disagree completely. It's not about ceiling, because I kind of agree with that Monte has a higher ceiling. It's about fit. Monte just shoots way too much. Iguodala is going to fit into what they're trying to do in Golden State, play a little bit more defense under Mark Jackson, but still push it. I think he'll be a good complement to Curry in the backcourt. And I see him fitting in well there with the Darrell Wright, David Lee thing they got going on there. Golden State is a good-looking team going forward. I know we're going to talk about that right now.
Yeah, I'm not even going to share my opinion on that because I'm pretty biased towards Monte Ellis. So he was on my fantasy team this year. I'm just going to leave him alone. Let's go over to stay with Golden State Warriors. We won't go too far. We'll stay in the Bay Area, okay?
Neat.
Cool?
I'm pretty lazy, so this is good.
Yeah, this is good.
I don't like going too far.
Mark Jackson, he got the job while we were away.
Good for you, Mark Jackson.
Yeah, we're proud of him. After we were talking about Van Gundy being in a coaching candidate, but we never even gave Marky Mark a shout-out. So we're doing it now. Mark Jackson, he was hired as the head coach of the Golden State Warriors over the week. But he made a pretty big move, pretty bold move. He pulled a Paul Maurice, and he guaranteed a playoff spot in his first year.
How'd that go, Paul?
Paul's, where are you working? Not in Toronto. That's all we know. So we'll start with you, Josh, and I'm going to steal one of your lines. What is it? Yay?
Achya or Nish Nish? This would be a major, major Nish Nish. Not only is this your first year in Golden State, this is your first year as an NBA head coach. You shut your mouth. You do your job. Like I said, I like Golden State. I think they're going to be a great team. I think they're a young, exciting team. But save the guarantees. Save the promises. The Western Conference, although weaker than it once was, is still pretty crowded. You have to earn your way into that NBA postseason. It's possible. We saw Memphis do it this year, but save the guarantees.
That's why the buzzer sounds, is because you're out of time. Matt, you're a Jesus.
I like it. I like Mark Jackson. I like the swagger, and I like with a young team, that kind of attitude coming in. I know you haven't coached before, but he's a TV personality. He's got a personality to him. To make a guarantee like that, I think it says to his young team that he's coming there with some lofty goals, and it's got the attitude and swagger you need with a young team. You need the confidence like that, and it stems from the head coach. So whether or not he makes it, I don't think he will. But good try, bud.
Thank you.
If I had to bet, I'd say they make the playoffs next year.
Really? So you got one for playoffs? What about you? You think? Yeah? You think the swag is going to push them over the top?
I think they might make a 7 or 8 seed.
The conference is changing. The Nuggets are out.
The one thing I really like Mark Jackson, I'm going to say niche to that bad boy there, predicting that you'll be in the playoffs is an atrocious thing for a coach. Puts you on a horrible footing. And plus it shines a spotlight on you that's very, very bright. And if that hot seat starts to get warming up, then it's going to get hot really fast for a guy that guarantees playoffs, especially if they bomb out. But the one thing I did hear from Mark Jackson that I really liked was they addressed the fact that Golden State has not been a great defensive team and that he does not have any coaching background, but he wants them to commit to defense. And Mark Jackson mentioned that he's a leader and that he's not been a coach, but he's been a leader. On all of his teams, he's led. And one of those teams he led was the Raptors. We got a little look at Mark Jackson. But the other thing was that he asked – he says he's going to ask his team if they can all just commit to defense. If they can all just give him a couple of minutes and a little bit of effort towards on that defense.
You don't
ball,
ask,
and I just,
you tell.
I hope that it works out for Marky Mark. I hope they can play a little bit defense there. That being said, again, I wish that Golden State held out a little bit to see how the dice fell in the D'Antoni situation because, wow. Mike D'Antoni with those pieces would have just
been awesome.
You can't win a championship like that. Now's the time to
utilize this team's strengths while also getting them to play some defense. That's why the Iguodala trade, although I don't like addressing rumors the way that we maybe have as a possibility.
This is a strong rumor, though. This has been validated.
Yeah, yeah. But it's big for them. They need to do this. They
and
need
they have
to do this,
real
and they need to. Yeah. And David Lee can play some defense. Darrell Wright, we saw in Miami, he's played some defense in the past.
The
so,
guy we'll look at is Odu Epeke. Epeke?
Yeah, that'll probably
be so Ekpe Udoh.
Ekpe Udoh. He was a great shot blocker this year. He was really good. We actually mentioned him 1 week.
Lots of energy.
Yeah, we'll see how he does under Mark Jackson. I think he'll be favorable. But that's all, folks. We're overtime. We're in OT right now, so we're going to have to cut it out. So,
tune in next week, though.
Yeah, tune in next week. We're going to do a draft special. We're going to bring in the one and lovely Aaron Karolnik.
Oh, I'm so excited.
The assassin.
The assassin who today hit Greg Tooth in the mouth, assaulted him, and knocked the tooth out of his
face. More of that to come next week.
More to come next week. We will talk to Aaron Karolnik about the draft and what it's like to hit Greg Hood, something we've all wanted to do very much.
Tune in.
Here's Bring 'Em Out with T.I., and woo! We out.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out, bring 'em out. It's hard to yell when the bat rails in your mouth.
Come on.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out. Bring 'em out, bring
'em
out. Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Hey.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
VIP, coming live from the VIP. Heard the nightlife, lost life, what that mean? Most feds in the state wanna see by me. The whole city got pissed, heard he got three. That other nigga got a hip and shouted, he not out. Who set the city on fire soon as he got free? The king back now, hoes don't even know how to act now. Hit the club, strippers getting naked before I sat down. Still ballin', money stacked tall in the shack now. Still push a button to let the roof on the lack down. I'm on the road doing shows, put my Mac down. Mississippi to Philly, Albuquerque. Get a chat time. I got the crowd yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
All my hot girls yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
All the dope boys yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Front to back, they yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
With other rap nigga hooded in this, I got rich and I'm still on some hooligan shit. You be rapping by a blow, I was moving the shit. Talk about shooting out, now we're doing the shit. If I hit you in the face, you gon' be suing the shit. And if I catch another case, I know it truly be missed. So I'ma keep a cool head, stay out of the news headlines, and show these other rappers it's bedtime. It's clear to see that I'm ahead of my time. I cop a chromed out, hard talk, career with a shine. I got some time, ain't shit, cause I get better with time. Who got a flow and a live show better than mine? I got a packed house yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
All my hot girls yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
All the dope boys yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Front to back, they yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.
Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. You wanna beef with the king? What is you gon' do? When you show up on the scene, with the two guns drew on you and your friend and play a little 2-on-2. If you do half of what I do, then you'll be hitting the deck. I got a tool and a vest, I can get some respect. I'ma make it hard for a sucker nigga to flex. Show him this ain't the squad for a nigga to test. Pair my nuts too large and we way too fresh. Work well with 9s, 8Ks, and texts. And quick to check a lane like a game of chess. You wanna beef, nigga, bring your best. Cause we be standing in your front yard yelling.
Bring 'em out, bring 'em out.